The heavens and the earth will pass away, but every word that you have spoken to us, you said not one of it will fail. Not a dot, not a tittle of it will fall to the ground. We honor your word, Lord, and we need your power. We need your spirit to help us understand. So many things changing around us. The world is upside down. In this time, as much as any, we need your word in us, Lord, to establish us so that we can hold on until you come. Give us understanding, Father. The understanding of your word is a gift that you give to your children by your spirit. Father, we desire you more than stuff, oh Lord. Give to us the grace. Open our eyes, Lord. Give to me the grace to speak the word. And the speaking of your word is almost never adequate because it's greater than words can express. In whichever way it's delivered, I pray that the heart of your children will consume it, that your Holy Spirit will break it down in our hearts, and the excellency of the power and glory will be yours. Let this, the giving of your word, let it be for liberty, let it be for deliverance. Let it be for peace, for understanding, and for grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have been teaching, as you know, through the book of Luke. We haven't touched Acts. We get to Acts next year. And today I was initially going to really talk about the widow's mite, you know. But God taught me something during the week that I shared during the prayer meeting that I think I must share again here. It's just a very basic fundamental of gospel, but it was very impactful, and I pray that it will impact your heart the way that it has impacted mine. Well, myself and my family were going on vacation, and very close, maybe this coming weekend, and we had been making series of arrangements. And in the course of planning, you know, I joke around a lot at home. I don't joke around that much in church. But at home, I joke around a lot. So I was joking around and I said to my wife, okay, can you call the king and let him know that I'll be around? TMI. TMI, too much information of the place we're going. You know, I was just joking around that, you know, call him up, let him. And she also is a joker. You might think she's quiet, but she jokes a lot as well. So she said, and who shall I say is calling or thereabout? And I said to her, you know, my brain just raced that, you know, it's a joke and you want the best line that you could come up with, you know? And I was just thinking, okay, well, what can I say? Then I just said, tell him the Son of God is visiting the city. And the moment I said, I felt a little bit embarrassed that, well, you be careful the words you speak. That title is reserved for Jesus. No, did you just, you know, violate the word command? The Bible says you should be slow to speak. And instantly I was beginning to say, because I'd never really ever called myself the Son of God before. I've called myself a child of God. But to call myself the Son of God, I'd never done it before. So it was strange. So I thought I was violating the Lord's territory there. So I turned back. Of course, when you mess up in a joke, I instantly turned back, you know, trying to get back to my sober period. And I was going to my office. I was supposed to be working anyway. And I was cracking jokes. You know, when you're not like David, when you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you're going to be in trouble. So I thought I was in trouble. And the Holy Spirit just paused me as I was moving to my office and said to me, you are a son of God. Just between the kitchen and my office, said, have you forgotten 1 John chapter 3? Have you forgotten? Says the, and there was a wonder that just filled my heart. It's not as though I did not know it. But that's why I want to repeat it to as many here as are born again. We are children of God. You can actually You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And this is the miracle of our faith. And a wonder just filled my heart that indeed, you, me, because of Jesus, we are sons of God. Let's open to 1 John chapter 3 that we read this morning and a few verses. And if we learn nothing today, you know, when there's an identity crisis, if you don't know who you are not going to be able to grow and develop in the way that you should. There's a quiet confidence when you are sure about your identity. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read a lot of verses there, but just verse 1. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called what? I want us to pause. As you sit so, you are a child of God if you have faith in Jesus Christ. John 1:12, who remembers what that says? If you believe it, did we hear, Sister Kemi, can we project it, please? Find it and project it. Oh, okay. I don't have eyes behind my head. Sister Shari was, when I look now, it's already projected. Now, why am I slow? As many as received Jesus, capital H, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Is there, there's more to it, but that's the fundamental of that verse. How do we see ourselves today? We know it, but do we know it? And then 1 John 3 says, and I think 1 John, John, at this moment, may have experienced that momentary wonder that made me turn back, that am I violating a title here? It's such a hallowed title. So it's not a title that you take lightly. You can't just go and claim you are someone's son. You can't just enter my house and claim that you are my child. There are many things you can do, but you cannot pretend to be someone else's child. And if you are, you are a fraud. Say, see the manner of love. And this is the love. This is the dimension. This is the theme of the entire New Testament. This is the hidden message that God has been teaching us since Genesis chapter 1. I read Genesis, a few chapters of Genesis this week. And if that story is not a story of love, I don't know any other story that's a story of love. When an almighty God spent all of these days making all of this universe, and then he planted all of this garden and put a man and a woman in it. And if you see the tenderness, he will come in the cool of the night and begin to commune with them, ordinary man. And then they will offend him, and then he will chastise them. He will chastise them the same way that you will chastise your child. Who told you there is candy in the pantry? Did I not tell you not to open the door? And he will punish them the same way you will punish your child. And you will think he will cast them out and forget them. No. He will kill an animal and clothe their nakedness. He will give them a commandment to love one another. And a brother will kill another one. And you think, certainly, mother, the Lord must have nothing to do with this child again. And the child says, Lord, this punishment is too much for me. Anybody that sees me will kill me. And I say, okay, I can't just let them kill you. I love you too much. I'm going to put a mark on you so that anybody that dares kill you, sevenfold will come upon him. What manner of love? This is the Christian story, brethren. Not that we loved God, but that he first loved us. See what manner of love. Do you want to be a son of God? This is why for centuries till the coming of Jesus, the whole of the rank and file of hell has not been able to turn away the Christian message. Because it's a story of the love of God for mankind that it's incomparable, that is without peer. The underlying story of us being in church this morning is that God loves us. And his son is our brother. So I want you to open with me to John chapter 20. There's a story here that I like. So this was the story of after the Lord had been humiliated, the world basically at this point thought, oh yeah, he has died like an ordinary man, just another rebel. They had killed him, and the wonder of resurrection, of ascension, no, resurrection had taken place. And the women, some women had seen him. He appeared to them. Then he says something amazing there. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the man who just raised from the dead. He said in verse 16, let's start reading from verse 15 actually. Mary, she supposing him to be a gardener, said to the Lord, sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher. 17, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Then Mary went and told them exactly. At this point in history, the Lord Jesus' work was completed. And he wanted his disciples to know what relationship they had relative to the Father. He was telling the disciples here that as God the Father is my Father, so is God the Father your Father. I mean, he could have said, I'm ascending to your Father. Anytime when, if Simi says to Anike, my daughter, go and tell your daddy, you will know that she's having problems with me. But when she says, and then when she says, go and tell my daddy to Anike, you know she's feeling really, really fond of me at that point. When she says, go and tell daddy, that's her default mode, right? But words and the way you express them, they mean something. Especially coming from Jesus, the master. He was deliberately picking his words there. And I don't know how you feel this morning. Our job is to establish the truth as Jesus taught it. Christ said, you will know the truth and it will set you free. If you have Jesus, Jesus here is teaching us the way he and the Father sees you and I. He said, behold, I'm going to my Father and your Father. He reiterated, and your Father. Essentially, he was saying, up until now, you have known him as my Father. I want you to know that the same God who is my Father is your Father. And then so that they will really know, can you imagine? People want us to call them apostles and titles and bishop. Jesus was content to let them call him brethren. Say, go tell my brethren. He did not say, go tell my apostles. He did not say, go tell my sons in the Lord.
He deliberately wanted us to know that as he is a son of God, so are we. So he said, go and tell my brethren. If that does not blow your mind, may it blow your mind as you reflect on it. What then can separate us from the love of God? This is the gift of the Christian faith. This is the biggest promise. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And I'd like to read a portion there. I'll start reading from verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of what? Adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, better believe we are heirs. Heirs of God. And then Paul drove it home. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh, the wonder and the glory and the price for those who we hold on in Christ until we see him. Life is a little hard now. It's in verse 2 of that 1 John chapter 3 that we read. I said, it does not yet appear. What we, it's as if John the elder is saying to us, I know it doesn't feel, you don't feel like a prince. I'm sure that this man, when I get to his city, will not welcome me the way he would welcome President Biden. But I was saying to, it just occurred to me. And I was saying to Biola, that this man, whether he knows it or not, he's not received a guest as important as those of us who are children of God in his land before. He just doesn't know it. Because it does not yet happen. We're in camouflage. But when Jesus comes, if he were to reappear in his land, he will come. In fact, he will come. The Bible says we will reign. Don't worry, there's no protocol now. When Jesus appeared, the only protocol were donkeys. The Bible says that he came to his own and his own did not know him. But as many as received him, he gave the power to be sons of God. They don't announce your name at parties. There's nothing important about you. But you are joined here with Jesus Christ. It does not. The Bible takes care of all of your doubts. They've been talking about this son of God, this being a Christian, being a royal priesthood. I don't feel royal today. I don't even feel like a priest. Oh, I don't feel royal. Other people are in the papers. How can I be a royal priesthood? Nobody even knows me. They don't know me in my school. They don't know me at my work. God, and you call me your child. Prove to them that it does not yet appear. But it will appear. A little, just a little bit more. We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of us, you know, where there's identity, what's wrong with the shoe? Where there's identity crisis, the problem with a lot of us Christians, this is why you must read your Bible and pray every day. You must be reassured in the truth. Paul said, I don't want you to forget. Because when you forget who you really are, if you forget, that's why some of you will say, I was hotter and better when I was a new Christian than now. Because when you were a new Christian, if you remember, there was some, they could take anything from you, but the fact that you are important to God, nobody could take it from you. You were established in your identity. The moment you started misbehaving was the moment you forgot that you were royalty, spiritual royalty. And then you started copying the habits of the world. Because you forgot. we know a prince now that's left his, renounced his princeship, and now he's a mere Hollywood star. When you forget who you are, you will act, you will misbehave. I'm not saying he misbehaved. I don't judge. I'm not in their area. I don't judge. I don't even know how they're supposed to behave. I'm just saying that there's a difference between royalty and just a star. We're his royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I imagine the day when Jesus will come, when we will be announced. What a wonderful day. So I want you to please go back and take this truth with you. No matter what, the pain, that the confusion, the expectation that seems to be delayed, everything, just repeat to yourself several times this week. As God is true, I'm a child of God. If you are a woman, I've never seen daughter. I think there will be the disappearance of gender when we resurrect, and everybody will be sons. I didn't see gender, daughter, so don't start any. He's only talking about sonship here. Whatever it is, we are children, direct descendants of Jesus Christ. Lazarus was a son with sores, but he will have a brand new body that only children of God, a glorious body. We have stuttering sons like that prophet. Who was the stutterer? Said, I cannot speak. Even Moses said it was. On that day, his tongue will be the tongue of eloquence, worshiping his God. Who will shine like a royal diadem in the palace of our God. There are not a lot of us. But as many of you as are fortunate to belong to Jesus, it's amazing favor that he has done you. Because it's not by any work of righteousness. It's not by some inheritance that we, it's not, in fact, let's go to John chapter 3. Praise the Lord. That famous passage in John 3. Start reading from verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. This is not the passage I want. The passage I want is the passage that says that we are born not of the will of man, nor of the will of the John 1. Yeah, that's the beginning of this narrative, right? In the verse 13, okay? I'll start reading from verse 13. For as many as receiving to them, he gave right after the one we had quoted. He gave the right to be children of God to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We are God's idea. None of us decided to be born again. God handpicked us and we became his sons. When you go to work tomorrow, I want you to reset your mind. I want you to walk with a little bit of a bounce to your step. Because this is the truth. What is happening? Your state of mind, the ridicule of the world, the weakness of your body cannot remove the truth of God's word. As many as believe in Jesus, they have the power to be the sons of God. I don't know how you see yourself, but that's the way God sees you. When you are down, the way he sees you is a child that he wants to pull close to himself. As we draw this sermon to a close, let's go to Revelation chapter 1.
I'll read from verse 5. Actually, from 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you, peace from him who is, who was, who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. That's what Jesus has done for us. See what manner of love that the Father has bestowed on you and I. I just challenge you today, brethren. Don't cast away this confidence. This is the truth. And as many of you as are born again, as many of you here as have encountered Jesus, you will testify to how powerfully the Holy Spirit bore this witness in your heart the day you were born again. Many of us did not get born again because we wanted to be powerful or known. Those things did not matter the hour we met Jesus. We just knew that the divine love of God had flooded our hearts. There was a new relationship. For those here who have lost it, God as a Father is stretching out his hands, calling us. Like that father called the prodigal son, come back home. I want a relationship with you. You are my child. The story of the prodigal son, he forgot who he was, but he came to himself. Do many of us really, some of us need to come to ourselves. Some of us today who are hanging, speaking, doing, who have allowed our souls to wander from the love of God, we have to come to ourselves like the prodigal son and say, come on. In my father's house, they will not use me this way. In my father's house, I was somebody. God loves me. What am I doing here? And God is calling us to come home to a relationship with him. We should begin to see ourselves. He's begun to see himself as a servant to other people, as a slave in a faraway country. Until he remembered. All the time he was a slave, was he still not a son? He was a son. The calf was still waiting for him. And the moment he went back, the father rejoiced, killed the calf. Is God not waiting for some of us to return to our first love this morning? There's a party ready for some of us if we just kneel and bow our hearts and let the Lord come. Let's not let the present suffering of the current time block us from this wonderful relationship. No matter what your reality is, the truth is that one day, we're going to meet with Jesus, our brother. I pray that all of us will be present on that day. Amen. Let's finish by reading from Hebrews chapter 12. And see what the Lord is saying to his sons. The Christian walk is a very, very difficult one. I think Jesus warned us. Some of us children really expected it to be a lot easier than it has proven to be. Smooth sail. But it hasn't. It was never designed to be that way. But our time will come. The walk of our Lord Jesus on earth was not It was not an easy one at all. It was spat upon, he was ridiculed, right? His intellect was insulted, intelligence was insulted. Then he was killed like a common criminal, right? But how did it end up? In glory. That's the way Christian walk normally is. Here, God now is talking to us. I'll start reading this from verse 3. And this is the advice that I think you should go and share with every Christian brother and sister. I think everybody is in need of this. We're living, if you look around, we're living in times of backsliding.
The Bible says that the love of many will wax cold. We are living in times when folks are no longer excited about Bible study like they should be, like they used to be, no longer excited about prayer like they used to be, Christian fellowship like they used to be. There's so much busyness, so much distraction. Folks are discouraged. These are hard times. These are times of famine, spiritual famine. And it happens many times, but God always turns the times around. But, and these are also times when God is dealing with some of us. And here the Lord is saying from Hebrews 12 from verse 3, he said, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Talking about Jesus. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. This passage is saying, if you are discouraged about walking as a Christian and committing to the faith, remember Jesus. So you have to always remember that your brother went through this. If not, you are going to think, say, is it only me? Our reference point must always be Jesus. Consider Jesus. If not, you are going to be weary and discouraged. Where? In your souls. Then, you know, that fatherly rebuke said, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. What's this passage saying? So, well, no matter what is going on with you, it's not the worst that could happen. It's not like Jesus, who had no sin and yet paid with his blood for the sin of the whole of mankind. Don't think any price is too much to pay for you to be constant in Jesus. He said, you have not yet paid the ultimate price. Why are you tired? Some of us have one expectation or the other that is missing. And we're already tired and denying our faith and denying our brother and denying our father. So the Lord here, the Spirit of the Lord here is saying, come on, man. The price, the benefits, is so much bigger. He says that the suffering of the current time cannot be compared to the glory that will be revealed to you. It's way worth it. So he says there, you know, as a father would chastise, you have not even paid the ultimate price in the same faith in which some people are still being beheaded for the faith. You're already discouraged because the job you are looking for has not yet come, or the prayer that you prayed has not been answered. It's a little chastisement. That do you not know that you have an eternal relationship here? Satan can do whatever it wants with this meager 80 years that you have. You have an eternity of celebration and compensation and glory and love because of Jesus, even as Jesus lives and is celebrating and waiting for us today. So that says, why? Why because of the little things happening to you? Why are you why have you forgotten the word of God that speaks to you as to a son, as to a child, as to sons? Say, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Do not be discouraged when God rebukes, when you are rebuked by him. For it is the person whom the Lord loves that he chastens, and he will scourge the bad sons that he receives. Is that what that passage says? Not the bad ones. I used to wonder, when I first read this in college, I said, why every son? Isn't this supposed to be the misbehaving son that he will scourge? Till I began to grow, and I discovered that all of us, relative to the holiness of God, were misbehaving. He has to prune us in his holiness, and it takes scourging. If you have truly walked with the Lord, you have been. In fact, the closer you walk with him, the more your, what do they call spank is. The more you expose yourself to him, the more light he sheds, You're going to feel bad about everything. Thing that people will not feel bad about. You feel chastened. You say, Lord, can I not even simply call myself the Son of God without feeling this chastisement? Then he went on to a dreadful thing. He said, if you endure chastening, God is only dealing with you. All of these things that are opportunities for prayer, for endurance, for perseverance. That's the way he deals with his son. Remember the way he dealt with Jesus. My Lord, why have you forsaken me? This is very consistent with the relationship of a father with his son. Even you who have children here, you will know that no matter how good a child is, there are times when you need to, we're not going to say it. I don't want child care welfare coming to capture me. But my daughters know that you give it to them. Yes, it's for their own good. They gave it to me. Preach it. Don't resent it. When you sin and you're disgraced, don't resent it. Congratulations. Oh, I pity Christians who have never, ever, ever fallen and been lifted up by Jesus. I pity them. I pity them. Maybe you are not a Christian. In fact, I suspect that God deliberately makes you fall so that you can learn more about his grace. Because I remember when I was a younger Christian, I used to think, yes, we're born again now, we're born. See those umbrellas. Until the Lord showed me that with all my born againness, there's putrid, I don't know the English word, there's a lot. And continually, the more you walk with Jesus, the more he will excavate all of. Christians are by nature chastised people. If not, you are going to glory in yourself. Every son he receives, he chastises. Then verse 8 scares me. He said, be careful if you no longer feel the spanking of God in your life. He said, maybe you are not a son. Because maybe you are an illegitimate son. Yeah, illegitimate and not a son. Isn't that a warning? If you can do anything you want this week, if you can miss fellowship, if you can get out of a house without communing with your father, Similoluwa and Anik, sorry, I'm not embarrassing you people. I'll say it anyway. Some morning, my dad. Or they even forget to say morning. They will just, then I'll pull them back. Say good morning. Kneel down. Say good morning. I'm your father. You know how much you cost me every month. Say good morning. Chastise them. So to walk away, if you can still walk from the presence of the Lord without feeling the Holy Spirit telling you, you haven't said hello to the Father today. If you can go weeks without testing for the word of God, which you used to test for once upon a time. And you're not chastised. Are you an illegitimate child? Because every legitimate child will feel it. The Holy Ghost will chastise. He will not let us misbehave. He will not let us. We read in our Bible study on Wednesdays, quench not the spirit. Let us pray. Goodness, Christ died for us. Good news, if we believe, we have eternal life. This is the word of the gospel, and I thank you, Father, for this word. Father, I pray that your people will believe, and they will know your love that rises above all the noise, both in our souls and in our ears. In Jesus' name, amen.